Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
To Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella.
What's up, everybody?
CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Steven Rue.
What's up?
Yeah.
And I'm your host, Destin LeGarry. On today's show, we thought that we would talk about the current season of Destiny and the current state of the game and kind of go over what we think of everything, ranking things, reviewing things, talking about the different sections of the game that we all enjoy. To start off, we're going to talk about Gambit, Gambit Prime, PvP, Strikes, Raids, Blindwell, Escalation Protocol, Menagerie, Reckoning, and that's it. But what we're going to do is, because all those activities are in sort of different places in the game right now, we're going to talk about what we like, and we're going to rank them, I think. So right now, what is your favorite activity that you can do in Destiny? That's not a raid. We'll exclude the raid from that conversation because I think the raid's the answer. That's an easy one, right?
Obviously. I was going to yell raid, but yeah. So much for that. Strikes, right, strikes are the top of my list. Well,
strikes are the best right now, friends?
They are the top of my list for overall activities to do, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Less about state of the game and more like, I just love strikes.
Yeah.
And I want more strikes. And so, you know, there's always some strikes that you may not love as many as others, but that's one activity I can always hop into. It's match made. So.
What strikes do you bail favorite? On immediately?
Yeah. Fran.
Oh. Exodus, I don't bail on them as much anymore since they tune stuff up. But that one in Curse of Osiris was terrible for a while.
So Exodus Crash, everybody,
yes,
right?
Exodus Crash.
How many people bail on Exodus Crash? A substantial number of people. I'll raise my hand also. And then, Steven, what's that one that I hate from Curse of Osiris?
Which one?
Not Garden World, the other one.
Tree of Probabilities?
Tree of Probabilities. Because you got to go through all the permutations. Of the,
The bridges
forest.
Just keep appearing.
Yeah. But besides that, they're all great.
Right.
Besides those two. Do you ever bail on a strike, Fran? Or do
no,
you
I, that's bad, man. Plus, I'm going to report you now that I know that you
oh,
do
Oh, there
that,
you so. Go. Yeah, it's recorded.
It's so easy to just go into your menu and not play a strike anymore.
So easy to report player. It's like the third yep. one down. So.
What about you, Steve? What's your favorite activity?
Say Siege or Steve?
Siege.
I heard
it's echoey
Steve.
On this
yeah,
side.
Was sure. So. You know, still a PvP guy at the core. I heard a couple people mentioning, they said the T word. We won't actually say the word out loud. It's not back in the game yet. But still digging PvP, yeah, and I like a lot of these chases. There's a lot of snipers now in the meta with Searcher.
That's been crazy
sniping?
To see,
yeah,
man.
Broker. Yeah, but it's good. So the pinnacle, like, rewards bringing people sniping back, and I'm digging it.
It was a beloved activity from the past, which we... really like
affectionately,
now.
Yeah. There you go. I didn't want to say it, Fran. It brings up a little pain. So you know, we're just gonna call it the T word. But I'm still digging PvP. PvP always to the core. But Destiny's got a lot of activities that I really enjoy right now. Just in general, Menagerie and matchmaking is really good.
But yeah, so. You're Mr. PvP.
Always.
I could have guessed what was at the top. Of
naturally.
The list, so
always.
Yeah.
What's your favorite game mode in PvP right now, and your least favorite? What needs a little bit of workbench love?
I mean. Countdown is just, I think, overall what Destiny is. In my mind, it's always just been that. Even though Team Deathmatch, like the Slayer
Wait,
mode.
You said Countdown.
Oh, sorry. I said Countdown. Oh, my gosh. Control.
I thought you were going to say.
Thank you so much, Steven.
Yeah. We were all very quiet. Like,
no.
We
were like, yeah,
I looked
Countdown
around.
And
I was like, did I say something
incorrect?
Control.
Control.
Countdown is the one that I feel. Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit. It doesn't seem to play well because of the amount of supers that you have, the grenades. There's too much abilities. Just taking that point is nothing but death. I just want to kill people and let them die permanently. So yes, Countdown needs some work. Love Control.
Steven, how about you?
Countdown's my favorite. probably the Menagerie right now.
Yeah.
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 The correct answer from Steven Rue.
Yeah.
Now, oh, there's only one correct answer.
Yeah, you got it right. You won, Steven. Congratulations.
Yeah. We brought
my
Steven back to say
is
that.
Fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Menagerie's the most fun, and then PvP's fun, except Lord of Wolves.
So how do you feel about... How do you feel about Menagerie? Right now, you can sort of farm that final chest, just slot new runes. You can probably get... Teddy says you can get, like, 9 drops.
I think that's been the max.
We have, until the 9th, right?
Yeah, until the 9th. Yep. So Monday, okay. I got to get my last 3 runs in to get the 200 done. Yeah, and then, how do you think it's going to have the same appeal after that's gone?
No, it won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't. Yeah. Like, right now, you can get, like, what, 6 to 9 items?
Depending on which
6
one.
6 fairly easy.
Yeah, it's a fun activity, but... We're all there for the loot, right? So it's going to lose its value after the 9th.
Yeah, if we could pause it. I thought that was a great discussion I've been having with a lot of people at Guardian
Menagerie,
about Menagerie and like how much loot you get, but comparing it to stuff. And so a couple things. One, yeah, Strikes was at the top of my list, and then PvP, then Menagerie. I mean, I love them all for their own reasons. But anyway, I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on, we really started to talk about and think about it, even after you nerf the chess in Menagerie and bring it down to 1 per run, so you're doing whatever...
It's like 10 minutes.
10 to 15 minutes, yeah, of normal
10
mode.
Minutes.
Yeah. But compare that with even like... Okay, I know, speed run every time. Perfect team, perfect matchmaking.
That's
so,
how I
efficiency,
roll.
Efficiency, yeah. Destiny. Every blueberry is just amazing every time. So, you know, sometimes they are.
Tell us how you really feel, Fran.
But anyway, I would love to hear you guys' perspective on this. You go do Nightfall runs, and you're, yeah, hey, you can get guaranteed a weapon with, you know, some percent chance. But you don't get a weapon every time.
From Nightfall?
So, in other words, where else, even after you nerf the chest, can you get this quality of weapon with a curate, like, you're pointed towards roles you want? Even then, it takes a long time, right? And it takes a lot. You
got to drop per encounter.
But you are right. Yeah. But in other words, think of the variety of what you can get out of the event, even after the nerf. So I'm not saying I don't want, because here I am back again. Oh, you shill. So I want what you guys want. Which it's been amazing. And these guns, for all we know in Shadowkeep, will be like maybe not as relevant. So let's enjoy the buffet while it lasts.
I know what you're getting at. The question that I have is I'm wondering... I think they're going to address this, first of all, with Menagerie. And I hope that they figure out a way to allow us to get these drops. And we're chasing these coveted roles right now, but the whole thing's getting changed in September anyway.
Yeah.
So we have to remember that the perk system is going to be different from what we currently know. So while, yes, this is going to be great, we're like 2 months. In 2 months, it's all going to be different.
Yeah, like, do you think your Outstringer is still going to be relevant then?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
It has to be.
Beyond PvP as well. Do you believe that?
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's just something
about
that
weapon. There's these other
modes in the game. Yeah, there is. But the Outstringer, I mean, hands up for people who use the Ice Luna in Destiny 1.
Oh.
Okay, there you go. Like half the auditorium.
Hold on. Hands up for the people who use Palindrome in Destiny 1.
Oh, yeah, well, that's it.
Okay, but the reason you didn't use Palindrome...
Angel's Advocate.
Well... Palindrome was also really good. It just looked terrible.
Yeah, it looked like a Nerf gun.
It didn't look good. And half of Destiny is the function and the style. Austringer is really good, and we just played it. And we wrecked. Steven and I did not too bad. We had this little PvP man there.
And I.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's more funner. So right,
More fun. Bring back Vendor Hawksaw.
No, but anyways, I think Austringer is like a really good weapon that will be persistent in the space regardless.
My favorite activity is easily Blindwell. Just kidding.
Wow. Just now, full of trolls today.
I think we'll just switch it and go inverse. My favorite activity is raids. Like, that's the best.
You blocked them out. What?
Because I know everybody would just say raids, and I wanted it for myself.
Oh, man.
You know what? I don't have to be PC anymore. I'm not your boss, and I don't work. I hate you, man. You said we couldn't pick raids.
My real answer, if we're going by the rules that I actually set, is is Menagerie also. But Steven just said that, so yeah.
The raids. Chaotic magic is still alive.
Oh, yeah. I think the thing that needs the most work, Blindwell and Escalation Protocol are in really weird places, right? You're not really incentivized to do it. There's a few weapons that you can get from EP that you might still want to run it for. I really don't like doing Blindwell. It feels like work, sort of, at this point. But it was a good way to get your Lumina.
But what do you not like about it? I think I feel like you would probably enjoy it if it was match made.
No,
it is match.
No, like, certainly. Well, you like, three no, it's not. I mean, you like walk in and hope people show up. Mm-hmm.
But that's about time
investment, right?
Well, that too.
It takes a really long time to get through the entire.
It's too repetitive.
Experience.
I mean, I think we could all agree, right, that Blindwell and Escalation Protocol felt like the experiments they needed to get us towards Menagerie, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like that's the evolved version of those.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why my answer would have been Menagerie if I didn't cheat. So
yeah.
It went
admitted it, clip
like,
it. Thank
Escalation
you.
Protocol, I'm like, hey, this is really cool. There's on something. It really sucks they don't have matchmaking. Blindwell, they sort of have matchmaking. Forges, yeah, okay. You throw balls at the thing. Whatever. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But then Menagerie, it's just like, it's six players. You go in. People usually seem, even with a bad blueberry team, you're still done in 10 minutes.
Yeah. You set a timer every time you play, don't you?
Yeah, I do. No, but like, it's a really, really quick run to get your drop. What's like the most troublesome is what I'm getting at. Like, what do you guys feel need the most work?
Are you talking about specifically all game modes now?
We picked our favorite game modes. What game modes can we all agree?
Well, the great thing about all the activities that you just ended, they are like the quote-unquote endgame activities of each season DLC, right?
Yeah.
And each one you listed, they've gone better within each season, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Menagerie to work off on now. So Shadowkeep and Season of the Undying, I'm expecting something like Menagerie, but better.
Yeah.
So we're going in an upward trend, and I'm excited.
Yeah, they keep learning. I actually think Reckoning is the one. Reckoning has the potential, but it's the one activity that needs the most work, just the way that it works with Gambit. It's funny because it had a little bit of feel of what you experience in Menagerie, but it just, you know, it doesn't have that magic. So I feel like that's the one that's kind of an outlier. So that's my pick for what needs the most work. Because Blindwell and Escalation, I just feel like those were very small events comparatively.
Mm-hmm. It feels like they were experiments to build towards something better, right? I would agree that Reckoning does need a lot of work. It kind of lost its luster. It's really arcadey, but the whole like wagering emote system is odd. You know, it's odd that you put your thing in the thing, and then you take that thing and put it in a thing, and then you do the thing, and then you finish
you'll
it,
get your thing
and
back
then you get it
you...
back, and then you put the thing in the thing, and then put that thing in the other thing. It's like, what? Why is it designed like this? Why can't I just put the thing in the wager machine and then do the act? Like, why even have it at all?
You don't like synth thing.
The synth thing is so bizarre, and
you
only
use it
for one
thing. You gotta bake a cookie or two before you get in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the. Everybody remembers the cookie baking festival thing, right? That was really fun. I had a good time with that actually. Yeah. Like baking drops, basically.
So you like that? You just don't want to have to like put it in the cookie jar or what. However,
I like the idea of having a wager system, and then you kind of go play what you want, and then you get a reward for doing that. And I think that seems to be what they're sort of working on, or what they were with the cookie machine.
The cookie machine.
I also really like cookies, so yeah.
But I think Chalice actually does that pretty well too, because there is some ambiguity with like, okay, what happens here? You need to kind of understand. And so I think it's. Yeah, this is definitely one of the best systems that feels like you're progressing towards something, and it's beneficial in that way.
Isn't it funny? I have to wonder if they knew during the dawning and the cookie baking and that they were building Chalice already, or if they actually did that and decided that that would become Chalice. You know, baking.
Maybe.
You are baking yourself. You're baking your runes.
Yeah, basically.
So it's the same mechanics.
Do you like this system, or do you think they should move away from it? Do you like the
Chalice?
Chalice, you know. Putting
cookies.
Things in for Reckoning.
I think your biggest challenge is every time there's a new season of whatever comes, you can't have all those things farmed, apply it to the new season, because people are constantly stockpiling things. So I think that is the reason why they have those things and different materials and all that stuff for each season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, think about if you launched in a new season and then you just had, the same material, toss it in this way? No. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Steven? Do you like the system?
For the chalice or baking? I got lost.
They're all baking. They're all a different version of baking. So do you think this should continue?
The thing with Destiny is for the fans that play a lot, that understand the systems, it makes sense. It becomes second nature to us. But as a player, like, I took a break. I'm not going to lie. I took a break, and then I got into it again. And I opened the rune system up, and I was just like, hold up. What in the world is going on right now?
Chalice out recipes.
Yeah, and it took me a while to understand it. But I think it's a good system. The end goal of the system is efficient, but the whole like quality of life system, I think, still needs working on.
You know why I like it?
Why, Dustin?
Guaranteed power drops in the slot that you need.
Yeah, that's the end game result.
Takes a little bit of that RNG equation out of it in the slots, right?
They're like, all right, go do all your weeklies and dailies, get all that done for the week. You get three.
Yeah.
Is it two or three?
Yeah,
I maxed out my chalice like last week. So you get three drops, and I got my warlock to 500 using the system, and the armor looks really cool.
Yeah,
Yeah, and, that,
and the rewards are good.
That's what I was going to say about it is I'm...
Yeah, 300. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We knew.
I'm cool with the system for now, but, the you know, it definitely was a means to an end, I feel like. It was like, let's use this so you can get your bond or your kit, whatever you need to go forward. So we solve that, but, like, in other words... How would this apply to, like, a strike? Or, in other words, you know, if I need something, strikes need to be more valuable, too.
Yeah.
And does that mean we're going to have to pop runes for that? So I feel like it's a means to an end. It works for Menagerie, but across the game, the quality of life, like you're saying, it needs to be improved. It just needs to be smarter.
You know, like, how you make strikes valuable? Strike-specific weapons?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sure.
Oh, yeah, and the drop rate on those are insane. Like, I did Lake of Shadows last week to get the primary grenade launcher, Militia's Birthright.
Yeah.
But which I know the name of.
Yes, now. Malicious Birthright.
How about that, complainers who say I never know the name of
anything?
What
were you calling it before?
The grenade launcher.
Oh, yeah. Kinetic.
The primary grenade launcher.
I'm with you on that.
Oh, kinetic.
Yeah. I was going to say that, like, you look at that scenario, though, and what Destin just said, like, if you want to get power, though, I don't want to be locked to Menagerie is still the point.
Yeah.
If I just want to get my strikes done, that, I believe, is what we all want as a community is, like, you know what? I don't want to have to do Menagerie. I like that, and it pushes people towards it. But at the same time, I just want to run this strike and have a chance to get the bond because I need it. And that, to me, is what they need to tune up and figure out. And if we're synthing or baking or whatever it is, I don't know.
Well, okay. I think too, with just you know, how Eververse is going to work now in September, that will fix a lot of those things, too.
The ornamental
stuff,
you mean?
Yeah, the ornamental stuff, yeah. Because now it's you can actually play and get something aesthetically pleasing and roll like that.
Right,
so.
Just for the look of it, too. Yeah.
So, guys, is there any mode or any activity? We talked about Reckoning. We talked about the baking system. Is there anything else that we haven't mentioned that you think could use a little bit of workshop love?
Countdown.
Yeah. Trials.
Yeah.
Trials.
Countdown is... The replacement for trials, basically, right?
Like, I mean,
that was the mode that we were introduced
to.
We
would like it to be elimination. And, I mean, we've talked about this so many times. Yeah, elimination, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's great.
3v3 or 4v4?
Three.
So what's weird is that three seems to be the common game type mode lately.
CJ's and got proven wrong. Can I see hands for three? It's 3v3.
There you go.
All right. 4v4.
Let's see 4v4.
Wow.
Only a couple people in the audience.
Sorry, 4v4? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's raising
two
hands.
All four people raise their hand again. Yeah.
So these are the things that Steve and I kept talking about is that, you know, 4v4 was very big in, obviously, Bungie's DNA with Halo and all the rest of that stuff. It felt also really good in Destiny 1 when we did private matches and sweats and stuff, but it just never seemed to translate well in Trials. But it's hard to quantify why because there's so many things that were different in year one.
Yeah. Well, when there's one less player on each team, the significance
stakes
of each
are so much higher.
Up.
Yeah,
like you feel it when you play Apex Legends, when one player on your team goes down, the other two they kind of panic. Yeah, you have to work together. When you play 4v4 and one player goes down, you still have two other teammates to rely on. It's just not as it doesn't feel as
It's drastic. It's kind of like you have two sides and a bridge, but when you lose one, you lose your bridge, and all of a sudden you're like you really got to figure that situation out fast.
But we did see a little bit of a clip in the elimination. We saw that we saw the name of elimination
on Widow's Court.
In the Vidoc. Yeah, on Widow's Court. Well, we don't know if it's going to be called something different, but a remade Widow's Court, which I'm super excited about.
This is why we shouldn't have mentioned
Widow's
Trials, I guess.
Cathedral.
That's what happens.
I was going to say, I'm curious what everybody else thinks. I'm still wondering about Gambit and Gambit Prime, because do we need both?
So that was one of the modes I was going to ask about. So, like, I go back and play Standard Gambit, and it's good if you're farming something. Like, if you need a lot of invades, well, actually, invades are pretty prevalent in Gambit Prime, because that's basically the whole second half of the match after
you
spawn your Primevals.
Mm-hmm.
Envoys. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird that they sort of separated it in that way. And I don't feel like Gambit Prime is really that much different than Gambit.
Yeah,
it's
what I was going to say.
Weird. I don't know how to describe it. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's bad, because I like Gambit. I like Gambit Prime, but they're too similar.
Well, so let's do another vote in the audience. Who likes Gambit Prime versus Gambit?
Yeah, you got to pick one.
Yeah, you got to choose a side.
And then regular Gambit versus Gambit Prime.
That's Gambit. 50-50.
And who's in? Who can't decide and just pick the side?
Yeah. Who can't decide?
Yeah, most people do have a definitive pick.
5%.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that initially when we heard the details of Gambit Prime, I think I felt like the armor and all the rest of those things were going to play a bigger impact in the actual game mode in and of itself. Not that it doesn't, it's just one of those things where you can still play and it doesn't matter as much as maybe what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
I think you hit it on the nail on the head with that they're not different enough. So they evolved Gambit. I like what they did with Gambit Prime, actually. But they're just, they almost need to just go farther apart. And I also like the idea of that if you look at, like, Crucible as a place, you know, have Gambit, they need a third thing as well. Mm-hmm. And Gittis, that's not Reckoning, you know, is for PvP. So hopefully that's what's coming, you know, is more differentiation. I don't know, something I'm just going to throw out there, too. I like earning the gear, the tiers of gear, but at the same time, when I saw that, I've always brought up, I'm like, man, they're so close to like an Overwatch or Apex scenario of like just having a class you can choose, and I don't know how that translates, but I feel like there's something there for like quickly get in, pick your class and play, make it more accessible. Mm-hmm. Like even I don't have all that gear, and then it's like in the vault anyway, I'm like, screw it. You know, even with Dim, Dim's amazing, and it's in there, but it's just the time to switch your gear.
Pick
out
your loadout and then like have it populate in your character and everything. Yeah.
Or you accidentally delete a piece and then it doesn't work or whatever.
I thought Gambit Prime, I mean, I'll draw an analogy to Trials by accident.
Here we go.
I think that there was something special about just Trials being on a weekend. And Gambit Prime, I thought, was maybe going to be the weekend event. Mm. So that, you know, if there was certain rewards and things like that for Gambit Prime exclusively on the weekend, you'd play that. And you could do that over and over and over again.
When Trials launched, it was the fact that you went to the lighthouse and you got a curated cutscene with your character in it, and it's just like, I want that victory sequence.
Yeah.
And like, it had great loot, it had the armor looked awesome, and there were ways to earn the armor even if you didn't make it there, but you wanted that moment of triumph.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
And I apologize, it slipped my mind. What was the activity in Destiny 1 in House of Wolves as well? We had Trials and
Prison of Elders.
That was the same way. It's like
prison.
When you descended into Prison of Elders, at the end when you got the chest, that felt super rewarding, and there's bounties and all the rest of that stuff. So there is something to be said about the, you know, that space that feels like a special space after you, you know, complete a match like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's part of a strike as a throwaway sort of thing.
It's funny that
you just tear through. You know, it's a bummer. Like, I would love that mode.
Warned of nothing. I love that. I like
that strike a lot.
Yeah.
And I love that throwback.
It's funny how Menagerie is, you know, close to it in a lot of ways. Learned from, obviously, Prison of Elders.
Yeah.
So it's like, how does Prison of Elders fit in next to Menagerie? Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be evolved because we went back to what it was, like just standing and capturing points, you know, why bombs might blow up.
Mines, yes.
Destroy mines.
Oh,
you knew I wanted to do it. So I loved the vibe of Prison, though. It was really cool. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe that's becomes more of the playlist. Like it's all 6v6 matchmaking and you have Prison and Menagerie and something else. Like I guess I could go for that.
Any other mode you wanted to mention, Steven, before I move on?
No.
All right. Then let's talk about perks. You know what perk I like on a sniper rifle? Hip fire.
Yes.
Perfect sniper rifle perk. For me, there are two perks that are I hate
We're
getting on anything.
Worst perks. Worst most perks. Disliked.
You can pick best, but we all know it's like Rampage, Outlaw, Kill Clip.
Yeah.
You know, those
Snapshot.
Those are pretty coveted. Yep. Snapshot's really good. Those are easy, right? Why do I hate firmly planted? If I get firmly, anything that's like, hey, crouch for a while and you'll get better, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Field prep.
Field prep. Firmly planted and hip fire's fine on hand cannons, but on a sniper?
Yeah.
What?
Since we're on that topic, sneak bow was also there. I don't really use bows much, but sneak bow's the same thing. You like gotta crouch and sneak with the bow. For a faster reload on a bow, by the way. Like I get they needed to make something, but
there's special challenges. There's special challenges for Datto to complete.
Yes, exactly. The Datto challenge.
Yeah.
But then you find out it's like the OP thing to use in the raid, so you have to be firmly planted.
Like that green grenade launcher that everybody was using or whatever.
Yeah, botheration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
Shotties in there as well.
Yeah. Any other perks that I'm forgetting? That's
Shield Disorient is on mine. It works
really?
On Arbalest, obviously. Is I forget what that one is called in particular. Yeah. The exotic version. But Shield, I mean, who uses Shield Disorient? I'm curious. Show of hands. You equip it. All right. So, but see, it's like a 3% of the audience. It's not that it's like terrible, but like, right, you have to match the shield, it breaks, and it confuses the enemies around them. It's so specific.
It's very OP.
Just use loaded question. You don't need to confuse the enemies. Just kill them.
Yeah, right.
Done.
Yeah.
Boom.
What about you, Steven? You got to have something that you hate getting on a gun.
Outlaw on a shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Wait, does that drop?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I've
all
not
the
had
time.
That. Really?
All
oh,
the
I never
time.
Get that. Oh, my God.
Outlaw on a shotgun is by far my least favorite perk.
Yeah. Hurts. I'll tell you which perk I miss actually a lot from Destiny 1.
Yeah?
Firefly.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Yeah.
There was nothing more rewarding than sniping somebody and watching their body explode.
Well, that's still in D2.
It is, but it just does not
Dragonfly,
feel the same.
It's like,
Dragonfly,
not the same.
It's just not the
don't
same.
Don't you have to hit headshots for that to proc, though?
You do, but I mean,
but maybe
it just,
that's the problem, CJ.
Oh. I mean, if you want to do a 1v1 again, I'm
no!
more welcome.
Oh, yeah. Got him. Got him. You just throw the mic off the table.
No, it is one of those things where, there was just something about, headshots in Destiny 1 with the sniper that felt really rewarding, and it's just, that perk.
It was that controller aim assist that you're missing.
Controller
Actually, no,
for
you still
life.
Use
everybody
it.
Out there, controllers?
Wait.
Oh, there you go.
CJ half watches us playing on keyboard and mouse, and he's like, I want to learn it, but it just seems like work.
It does. Doesn't it feel like work when you're hunched over a desk with your
you
arms like this?
You sit forward and press
W. I'm curious.
It's like sending an email. It's very difficult.
Who plays? For that brand. Who plays on Jake. Xbox main?
Yeah,
nice.
All right.
PlayStation.
Xbox. A lot of PlayStation.
Okay. Like, PC. This is great.
PC. Oh.
Yeah.
Wait.
It's,
okay.
PC's actually low in this room.
So,
it's really refreshing to see so many console players.
Yeah,
there's
vote. Yeah, I'd say probably like 40% PlayStation, 20% Xbox.
Yeah.
For
those who couldn't see it, it was PlayStation, PC, Xbox.
No. I'd say PlayStation, Xbox, PC.
Really? Okay.
Real quick, though.
Oh, yeah, I think it was.
I have a follow-up to that. Who will play on another platform when crossplay starts? Raise your hand.
You'll buy another copy as well.
Yeah, and you got to buy the other copy.
Few hands went down. Forgot about that part.
So
still
who,
awesome,
who
though.
Will not be moving platforms?
Who won't use cross save or move?
All right, like, I don't know.
So, but good feature overall, digging cross save?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's great.
That's a thing. Yeah, we're excited about cross save.
I will hop on PS4 now. I'll hop on Xbox more because I don't have to level 3 accounts.
Absolutely.
Anybody playing on Stadia?
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
You might want to get each other's info because that might be about the player base.
Oh, there you go.
I hope they loosen up the rules of Stadia. Yeah. That's odd.
What?
Oh, they can't play with PC or
but
it's its own platform, man.
Right. I mean, and so I think that would be the next question, as we've all said, okay, cross save, we're all believing that's possible. Cross play.
That's very different,
I know, but it feels like, maybe a possibility in the future.
They said they will and want to do it.
Exactly,
they did say that.
But it's not something I ever thought that I would be believing would be possible in Destiny 2. And since crossplay got announced, it's like,
now
maybe that and trials could come back.
Yeah, we're getting closer.
Just one.
But I can't wait to play with more people on more platforms. And it is a good reminder. I know I joked about having to buy a copy, but you can hop in the first year, Destiny 2, New Light, or First Light.
Wait. Which one's the PvP map?
Wait, it's New Light, right?
New Light or First Light?
It's.
Did Destin have it right or Fran?
What is the
First Light?
I don't even know.
Map. It's Destiny 2. Yeah. Destiny 2 New Light. I got it right.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, that is free, and it is.
I honestly can't remember.
It is. So you can go to any platform with your cross save and use that and play any activity. I believe that was in Destiny 2 the first year. So that's cool.
It's really cool. I think it's fantastic. I can't wait to see Steam users adopt this. Anybody that's on console who has heard about Destiny for better or for worse, they're probably going to be popping in to check it out. I think the player base is going to jump dramatically.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. It could be really good for all of us here that are looking for more people to play with and more inspiration for the team to grow and do bigger things. And if Stadia and New Light and everything brings in more people, and we always see with a big new release, and I feel like it's getting a lot more momentum, even though it's not Destiny 3, as big as possible.
How was that again?
The 3... backwards for them.
Just checking.
With 2, it was a big relaunch, and we saw a huge infusion of people, but then 2 was not in the shape that we wanted it to be, and it actually drove a lot of people away. So I think with it being free in particular, people will give it another shot, and we've all been very positive on it lately, and I think that's helped a lot, obviously,
too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
So one of the other topics we wanted to go over, we did want to talk about raids a little bit. We want to talk about the 3 new raids. Last year, we ranked all of them. And that was basically the entirety of the panel. So I want to talk about the three newest ones that have been introduced since that point and talk about where Bungie and Vicarious Visions and everybody who worked on these have gone since then. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten Last Wish, we've gotten Scourge of the Past, and Crown of Sorrow. Crown of Sorrow is fairly new for most people.
Yeah.
Which raid is the best out of all those?
Last Wish.
So let's open up the audience.
Last Wish. I know, that's what I think too, yeah.
And on the stage, Last Wish. Keep your hands up for a second.
Oh, just me?
Yeah,
just
well,
me.
Yeah.
You said audience.
Oh, Last Wish wins.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
But we got to do second place.
I'm guessing second place is who would have voted for Scourge of the Past is the best. No,
wow,
nobody.
Not as. Oh, wait, okay. We got one back.
For
there.
Second
one
place.
Back. Yeah.
All right, so.
We're voting for second
is
place.
Is Scourge
right?
second or. Yeah. Yeah, is Scourge second? Raise your hands.
No.
All right, so Last Wish, nobody for Scourge. Yeah.
So
and
second
then
place is Crown,
Crown
of Sorrow.
Of Sorrow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's what I.
Show of hands, who has not done any of those three raids yet?
That's fair. Okay.
Wow.
That's a good point.
Okay. Yeah. It's about like, fair. Yeah. 10%.
Okay, so let's talk about the encounters in each of these raids because Last Wish, you have the opening of Cali, right?
Yep.
And then you have, what is it?
Shirochi.
Shirochi, the puzzle.
Yeah.
Then you have the ogre.
Morgoth.
Then you have the vault.
Yep.
And then you have Riven.
Mm-hmm.
And then you run along with the ogre.
And the esophagus thing and yeah. Dream world, whatever.
I love Last Wish. Last Wish has a very special place in my heart because the raid team that I was on, we were actually like some of the first people to get to Riven, and it was a really crazy experience for me to be at that point. And for Fran, it was one of his worst raid experiences because he couldn't play with a blind team.
Power
here
per
we go.
Hour.
Get the
here
power
we go.
Okay, it's simple math,
it's
people.
Coming. It's coming.
Yeah. So,
do you trademark that yet?
Working on it. Nobody else do it.
So, I'm going to kind of jump topics here because I really want to get your take on this.
But
you brought up power per hour.
Are we jumping that?
No, go ahead.
Last Wish, hopefully everyone. Yeah, all the encounters, I love that. There was so much combat in the beginning, plus puzzle work. They did a good job. In other words, like I felt like Leviathan, like even sneaking around with the dogs, it just slowed down a lot. I thought they did a really good job. That's why I've always liked King's Falls, one of my absolute favorite raids, because there's so much good stuff in there.
Yeah.
And the boss encounters, like there's always a boss. So I really enjoyed it. And that's why I like Last Wish the best.
We were talking with Santa Rage at dinner about King's Fall, actually.
Yeah.
I love that raid. What was the coveted thing in that raid that you went after? Besides, like, you got gear that looks sort of cool, but what was the thing that you really wanted?
The ship? The ship, that was really cool. Mm.
But did you bring anything out?
I just liked
gun
playing.
Or gear?
Yeah, machine gun.
Quillums, and then actually, Defiance of Yasmin was actually one of my favorite
very good
snipers.
Sniper.
Yeah,
what
it was
about
really
the
good.
Hand cannon?
Oh, Silas Bane.
What was
dude,
it?
That was so good. That was so good.
It's
I
very
called
weird
that one
name.
Glimmer.
Yeah. Shard.
Yeah.
The machine gun from that raid was pretty solid, though. That stayed in my inventory probably almost the remainder of Destiny 1, actually. Mm-hmm.
So, inversely, if we look at Last Wish, what was the gear that we pull out of there? 1K for sure is on that list. Nation of Beasts, Curator role.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Scout Rifle, and I'm not being certain. No, I'm sorry.
Is that Trent?
Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah.
Chattering Bone was awesome.
Are Scouts good on console? I have no idea. All right. They're just bad across the board.
Wait. Who mines, though? Because does anybody want to use a bunch of Scout Rifles long range?
I would like them to be usable.
Okay. Yeah,
now, here's the thing.
Come on.
Now, listen. In PvE, fine. But honestly, at Destiny 2 Year 1 with Scouts and Mida was not good. That destroyed me in PvP.
Yeah, did you like Hung Jury?
Destiny 1.
I mean, Destiny 1, but Destiny 1 is not Destiny 2. So, I'm just saying.
They should be usable. So, I'm with Destin. I mean, you got to.
But they're unusable.
Yeah. Yeah,
some people
fair.
Use Mida, actually.
Yeah.
It's usable, but.
On purpose?
Yes.
Is that a desperation? Or like
yeah, I mean, so there you go. So there needs to definitely be some kind of balancing where they're effective in PvE much more than they are right now. Yeah. Because in PvP, I'm not a big fan of the Scout Rifle meta. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, honestly, out of Last Wish, although I liked getting the curated stuff or some good stuff like Nation Beast, it was about 1,000.
Taking mods.
Yeah, yeah, well, and the mods, that's been an interesting addition to the raids and activities like Reckoning, is like getting mods out of them can be really powerful for you, and that's been a nice, that's a very like hardcore chase. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times people are sitting on mods, and if they don't use them enough, they're like, you know, they're like, wait, I do have that. Because again, we're used to chasing weapons and armor, but this is a new layer. So I know we're getting a lot more of that in Shadowkeep, so I can't wait to see what they do.
I'm stoked for sure. Steven, what do you think?
About what?
About Last Wish and some of the weapons that you
Last
were chasing
Last Wish
there.
Is my favorite raid of all time.
Really?
Yeah? Okay. Wow.
Works. Better than Vault?
All the encounters, they make you feel super powerful. The aesthetic design, the environment, love it. I love that this is like, I guess King's Fall kind of tied in. Well, it did tie into the campaign, but Last Wish felt more substantial in terms of tying into the campaign.
Yes.
And then even after it tied in to the Dreaming City, and spoiler alert,
it's a long
it's
way.
Fine. It's been a while.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't know what happened to Aldrin yet, and it's tied into Riven, and it's I just love that
it's
entire
cool,
it's, encounter.
Yep,
it's more
that's
than
fair.
Just like, you know, yeah, like I don't know where Eater of World fits into the narrative. Yeah. I don't know if it does. Somebody will tell me it does, but but Last Wish was like, I 100% agree, and even the Ascendant challenges on top of it, it all really tied together, and that's where I'm hoping Last Wish goes, Shadowkeep goes, and brings the Forsaken model forward again.
So I'm going to talk about Scourge of the Past for a second, because I don't even understand why, but I have an emotionally negative reaction just thinking about the raid.
Really?
I really don't like that raid.
What raid?
Yeah.
The last... there's
some good guns on there, like the primary shoddy.
Yeah.
Well, Anarchy, obviously, is amazing to get
out
of
there. Well, it's amazing.
So. It is amazing
for
now.
For one thing, and one thing only.
Yeah, but it's really cool. It's a cool weapon to get.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't have
it's
so
cool
I've heard.
Because you want it in Crown of Sorrow.
Yes.
Because it glitches
you shoot
out
some
the boss,
hands.
Right?
But
besides that, who's rolling around with their Anarchy doing sweet dips on
Yeah. That's
right. You know? Yeah. Nobody.
Sweet dips.
What's the shotgun? What is it called?
Threat level.
Oof. That
the
is
primary
good.
Shoddy.
Dude, I rock that everywhere. It's so good. I just use Threat Level, Recluse, and Swarm of the Raven. Yeah. It's an incredible loadout. Because you get Ikelos, and I'm talking PvE for the most part. It's just amazing. Like, my primary is Recluse, and Trench Barrel on the shotgun is amazing to have, because you don't have Ikelos otherwise.
I kind of got to put you on the spot.
What?
Did you actually earn Recluse?
Yes, I did, but I got help from some people. But you have to play the game. It's not like I did an account recovery with somebody. So, okay, I still had to.
No, I got to give you props, because I did not.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, actually.
And I feel guilty about it every day that I kill people in PvP with
that. Actually, I believe it.
It's good.
I feel like, actually, it was Carolina and their Discord. It was Carolina was helping me, and then Click and Michael and some other folks did the last part where I just had to get my kills.
You did the comp grind.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
Yeah, it's solid.
Definitely get Recluse. It's doable, is what I'd say, and it's incredible.
If Paul Tassi can do it,
that's right.
From Forbes.
Right, Paul?
Anybody can do it. Right, Paul?
One day, he says.
Yeah. That gun's nuts, though, seriously.
It's so good.
Yeah, so going into Scourge, I just really don't like that encounter. I just find it boring and annoying.
You don't like the last boss at all?
You go in, you run around with orbs, you put them into the main thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of, okay, whatever, north, south, east, west, we
Destin,
solved it.
Destin
somebody
doesn't
calls
like
out
putting things in things.
Yeah, Destin hates putting.
I hate it.
You get the thing, you put it in the thing. And,
yeah. At least in
cook.
The...
cook it.
I will say...
At least in the forges, you get to throw them.
Right. And then they bounce off because you don't hit the right spot.
Here's a crazy idea. Everything's, you kill all the little guys, you spawn the big guy, you damage the big guy. What if they flipped it? What if you kill the big guy... kill the medium power guys, and then you have to kill out waves of low-level guys.
For the last ending?
This massive door opens up, and there's this tiny dude that hops out. He's got the largest DPS bar.
Yeah, exactly. It takes forever to kill him.
It's Randall the Vandal.
Swords. Yeah, I'm talking Randall like a boss, right, that has a large health pool, orange bars, basically, or just more powerful guys, but then a bunch of red bars, but there's a lot of them. It's like one duck, one big duck.
I think you're describing
100 little ducks.
You should play Pikmin, is what you're describing, by the way. So.
All right.
Then we woke in the hive place.
I think you're on to something, Desi. It might be the least well paced raid. It's just got odd pace to it. Like I like the last boss and stuff, but it's just the way the beginning starts, and then like you gotta like navigate your way through, and then you gotta ride on the Sparrow. It's very different though, and again, I like they experiment with some stuff, but it feels oddly paced. I agree.
So are we gonna rank them within the context of the other raids from D1 as well? Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
I thought we weren't gonna do that.
We weren't gonna do them all.
No. Like, okay.
I think they want us to do them.
I mean, yeah. Who wants us to kind of?
Do we have other topics though? Still?
Yeah, there are a few more things I wanted to go over. Like, what are the worst and best parts of raids just in general? Because we didn't even really talk about Crown of Sorrow. I think Crown of Sorrow is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Crown
of Sorrow. I love the vibe, man. It's so cool.
I think it feels a little bit menagerie, you know, and then I like the encounters. I really like the final boss encounter. I don't like the one where you got to break the guy's shield that much.
Yeah. Steve and I were talking about
bather.
This. There's a lot of raids now in D2 that require communication because there's some visual things. And not that this is a bad thing. I just think that I liked Argos. That was probably one of my favorite encounters so far in D2.
Yeah.
Just because of all the things that you can do visually with your teammates looking at them. Like, I don't mind that you need to have an abacus to, you know, program Last Wish. Like, it was like, oh, dear God, I'm looking at all these symbols. What does this mean? Like, how many people actually, like, made enemies of your friends the first couple days of Last Wish?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Dude,
Wait,
that is a dragon, like, looking to the left. No, man. It's like, say the right
bird
thing.
On a branch.
You had to agree on the names. Yeah.
And I like that. I think there's... I'm glad that they've done that for a lot of raids in Destiny, but I think there's something to be said about having, you know, Argos is you're moving around, you're paying attention to what your teammates do, and you could actually do that raid not talking to anybody and just visually paying attention to what's happening on the battlefield. And I think that's a part of Destiny that I enjoy less so in the last few raids because they require such intense communication because there's things happening on the other sides that you don't necessarily see.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
So just talking about the three newest ones, we'll call this the latest season. I know this season, or this quarter. I don't know what you want to call
it. Last year, really.
Yeah, okay, the last year of Destiny. What has been your favorite encounter and least favorite encounter?
Out of all three raids.
Out of those three raids. Just thinking about it for a second.
I mean, I know. Yeah, I have one, but Sirochi. I like that one because I like the mobility.
That's your favorite?
I think it's one of my favorite. Yeah, I actually just like the way that you had your supers, you were chaining things together, and that's why I was saying if you paid attention to your teammates, you didn't need to play that encounter calling anything out. It was just that energy of looking around and seeing what people are doing, and then once you realize you had to jump on these platforms and light up, you shoot each other. There's just all these things where you're going, okay, this makes sense. You just do it once. You know what you're doing, and you don't have to have constant crosstalk on the mic. It's just, you got to do what you need to do. Make it work. Yeah.
Sirochi might honestly be my least favorite.
Really?
Really?
No.
She has 8 gates that you have to break down, you know?
But it
all right, good DPS gated.
Yeah, but
good DPS gated.
But there's something to be said about the fact that that encounter had like almost like a story. You went through different parts of a level, and you progressed over the span of this part leading up
to the tower.
Yeah, up the tower. Like it was really cool that there was a bunch of different areas for that encounter. So, but
I understand the verticality of it. Like I can see why you enjoy that part of it. I don't like the damage gating, and it's continually damage gated throughout that whole experience. And then you got to go stand on puzzle pieces to finish a puzzle. And
yeah,
it's not like terrible. It's not the worst thing I've ever played. But,
I think because it was different.
But I don't enjoy that encounter out of all the encounters in Last Wish. That's the one where I'm like,
yeah,
I don't like this one.
Yeah, I mean, I like lanterns in Crota as well. I think there's just something about there's certain encounters that are dramatically different from others, and to me, that one was very different.
Mm. What are you, Fran? You want to say something?
I'm hesitating because it's so fresh in my mind, and it's very easy, like you were doing with Menagerie. In my opinion, it's brand new and it's fresh. So of course, it's amazing. But like after you play that 100 times, it wears thin. But Galarin is a really cool encounter, the last boss in Crown of Sorrow.
Yeah.
So cool, right?
Yeah.
Raises his hands. You got to shoot his hands down, shoot him in the face.
I like actually all of the mechanics. There's so much going on in there that's really interesting. And like you said before, I don't like the bather before as much. It's just the way it works. But to be working with the whole team, you've got crystals on the map, you've got to shoot these hands, and like bringing the axe down, and really like that's really cool. I always love in any event when you have just a big animated moment that makes it more interesting. Like I always bring up Metroid Prime as one of my all-time favorite games. Anybody else? All right,
a few people.
But I always, and Zelda is really the inspiration for it, but when you like break a point on an enemy, right, and just like the eye explodes and then the next phase. And yeah. So anyway, I love what they did with Crown of Sorrow. So I think it might be my favorite out of all of them.
Pretty
it
cool,
just,
right?
It looks so cool.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, Steven? What's your favorite like encounter out of all
my
of them?
My favorite, well, I'll start with my least favorite. My least favorite encounter is probably the very first part of Scourge.
Just the because opening with a map and you
yeah,
gotta
it just
put
seems,
the balls in the
just
thing.
It seems way too like slow, and the guy's just reading the map. It's like, no, you're not there. Oh, you just drove past him.
Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah,
that's probably my least favorite. My favorite encounter, and I usually judge encounters off the first time I do them, is the Riven fight.
The Riven fight?
Yeah. Yeah, working together on with the other team and calling out the eyes and all that, and then calling out the symbols. I think that was super tense, and then you have to go down the elevator shaft, do it again. Will I ever do that again? No.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love that encounter.
Yeah, that first experience when you descended and actually saw Riven,
yeah,
I think was
is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
and
probably
the
yeah.
end as well.
Yeah, and then yeah. you're floating down and you're shooting the scavs, and it was just such a cool encounter.
Yeah,
but I'm never gonna do that again.
Yeah. I'll never forget because we're at that bombs. Part, right? Like we're doing the raid race day one, and I draw this dotted map. And I tweeted it out and pinned it because I'm like, this will help you when you get there. It will make no sense right now. And it was the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how was it, guys? It was L1, L2, L3, L4, L5? Easy. Or was it L1, L2, L3, L4, L5?
Should have been left
like reading
right.
a book or some weird Destin way of doing everything.
So
yeah,
I went through the same thing.
I don't know how to quantify that.
You went through Destin? So, yeah, right, there's, like, the Z of eyes on one side, and then the other way is mirrored, I believe, in the shape of it, right?
But well, one's a, well, V, and one's a five-sided die.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, of course, the same problem, the way that Fran does things is always a little weird. And so we had, you know, L1, L2, L3, the order, and on the opposite side, I mirrored it in my brain because of the other side. So, of course, it was just – so, in other words, where the two met in the middle, they weren't the same – number.
Oh my God!
And so anyway, it made perfect sense to me, and
I get it.
And I explained it to someone, and they were like,
yikes.
"What?" And I drew them the map, like you said, and then they were like, "Oh, I see what you're saying,
I
but
gotta,
why?"
I gotta say, man, I miss sitting here and just watching
exactly.
you guys talk.
Yeah.
Us?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so good.
Yeah. Maybe we should do the next raid together,
yeah,
Destin.
No.
Yeah. No.
I think we would kill each other.
It's funny. I was absolutely joking as well. So.
Yeah, that would be scary for everybody. All right, so I have to agree. I think Riven's probably my favorite experience.
Riven's solid.
Yeah, and Sirochi was probably my least favorite. There is another topic just about the raids that we've been discussing internally and like with our raid teams, and I'm really curious, what do you guys think is the ideal window for preparation? The last raid was a 6-hour window, and honestly, I called it for our raid team because I'm like, I have to sleep. I feel ill. You know, like I'm not doing any benefit to the team. I'm
after
angry.
The first day.
After the first day.
He's married and now.
We did 18 hours.
I had just gotten married. I beat Fran, of course.
Yes,
as everybody knows.
Congratulations, by the way. Officially, didn't get to say
it.
Destin was at work watching all of our strats and adjusted and. It's fine because at the end of the day, he won, and that's all that matters.
Dead serious, I thought he had it.
We were so close, man. We honestly, like you said, we stayed up till 4 a.m., so right, you go 6 hours till 4 p.m. Pacific time, and then we played until 4 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
Eventually, just had to freaking call. We were so close.
Yeah.
And same thing the next day. You were getting off work, and we were right there. And you would, like you said, I think you were like, we're not going to get there in time. But then you came in, and you guys just were like fresh.
Well, I got there, and I think it was like Teddy and the crew, right?
What?
And anyway.
Teddy?
Teddy's
that guy
somewhere.
Doesn't exist.
Where is Teddy?
He's
gone.
Exist.
Teddy.
There's Teddy. He was on Destin's team. Give him a round.
Teddy,
that is
give
Teddy.
Him a round of applause. He
what's
actually,
the clan name again?
He does exist.
It's, what's your clan name?
Clan name, Teddy.
Clan Concern. Yeah. So it was like IGN Concerned, and I'm like, we should like make sure to differentiate that IGN's not concerned about anything. But yeah. But his team's great. It's him, Global Reset, Backwards, your brother.
did he run with us? And then it was me and Brian Malkowitz.
I when I get a carry two desk and I forget the names of the people, it's okay.
No, I know their names very well.
Totally get it.
We actually still play together regularly.
Yeah.
And it's been
really,
you
guys have been
really
playing together a while. So.
Yeah. And that raid has totally gotten me back into Destiny in a great way.
Yeah.
And Bungie's just done so much good stuff lately. But the question, thank you, and thank Bungie, really.
Yeah, it was about Bungie.
Yeah.
Right? Give it up for Bungie. Right, amazing job lately, seriously.
For sure.
Just in case they're in the crowd somewhere.
Chill.
But the question I'm asking is, I think they're really close with the raid prep.
What is
the ideal window? Last Wish was a week. Right?
First of all, I'm with you. How many people, let's just check this, because I almost feel like not many people. How many people want to play that 6 hours and go straight into a raid? Who wants that? There's like literally 10 people or fewer.
Couple people out of...
I think with contest, my quick answer is, I think with contest plus power per hour, about, let's call it 5 hours a day, you get about five, whatever your levels need to be. You play that from, you know, Tuesday, and you go in Friday at a designated time. That's what I would like to see. And it all should add up so I don't have to grind 10 hours a day because I have other things in my life. Not that I don't appreciate the people who did such an amazing job, but...
Yeah. For sure. I will... What day did you say, Fran?
Friday. So, well, if it goes Tuesday, straight out to the next Friday right away, but...
What day does the raid launch, I guess is my question, is Friday the day? But the whole work thing. That was your whole thing. Like,
oh, absolutely. Sure. I guess perfect world. Yeah. I'd love to see a Saturday, but they're never going to do it. Like, Bungie doesn't want to work Saturday.
Okay.
And that's part of it.
Does anybody think that Friday or Saturday... Who would
pick one.
Let's say we have Friday or Saturday to pick from. Who picks Friday? Raise your hand. And who picks Saturday?
Yeah, more people else. For Saturday.
Yeah.
Bungie? I don't know what I would. I would. I don't know, man.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah. All right. So, Teddy, you're up here. This
I
is
am
Teddy.
Up here.
He runs
Raid.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
How many raids have we run now, Teddy?
I have done all of them day one, with the exception of Last Wish. And
I meant together.
We've done four together, Dustin, unfortunately. No, Dustin's great sometimes.
Wow.
Like 70% of the time, I'm great. I'll take
7.9.
Oh.
Gotcha.
So,
it's an internet
last
thing.
Raid, 6 hours. The one before that was...
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How many days prep?
For which raid?
Oh. The one before that was Scourge, right?
So Scourge we had 3 days. Last Wish we had 10 days. And this last one for Crown we had 6 hours, which I think is bad.
Yes.
So what do we want?
I think... The 3 day one would be pretty good. Like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I'm okay with 3 days if it's like the seasonal drop idea where it's, you basically don't have a story that you're playing through. But when you have a story like Forsaken, I don't want to rush through that.
Actually, you make a really good point. I guess I want that too. Honestly, I would take 3 weeks. I know a lot of people are opposed
to
it. I know.
Come on, Division just said that it was terrible.
That's not why that was terrible, though.
It's too long.
When I played it. But anyway, I want enough prep time. But the point is, I just don't want to have to grind 10 to 12 hours and have any advantage if you do. So as long as they keep that under control, actually 10 days, I agree, because you want to enjoy it, have the weekend. I actually wasn't thinking about that. It's a really good point. So the week after plus that Friday.
Yeah, if you have a campaign where you're feeling like you're grinding through it in order to get to the raid, that's...
You don't want to rush it.
Yeah,
either.
Like I actually really enjoyed the Forsaken campaign and doing all that stuff leading into the raid. And I still got a chance to play the raid day one as well. It's really good, but definitely I think there's something we said. When we asked how many people played the raid day one, how many people have actually been involved in the competitions as well, too, that you play like for 24 hours? Or are you just playing... So hands up if
who's
you...
who's tried to get Worlds First?
If you're in the Worlds First
race. Oh, has anybody actually... competed for.
Okay, so there's only really like a half dozen or a dozen or so hands. Yeah. That's not a lot of people in that space.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the fact that they have implemented those things for the people who are competitive and engaged in that. I actually really like watching raids. I've realized even with myself
it's really
now. It's super fun and it creates like this excitement that I think is definitely something in the community that people will get excited about leading to it. But what I like to have about 7 to 10 days leading up to it, so it doesn't feel like a massive grind that you're just trying to get there and
yeah, and it can be unhealthy
everything.
As well.
So you're 7 to 10, CJ?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Only on account of just if you think of a campaign launch within it, I don't want to feel like I'm blasting through the campaign in order to get to the raid and get to the right power level.
So let me get this straight with this insanity. Fran and I just agreed.
Yeah.
No, but I changed my answer in normal fashion. Teddy convinced me. Yeah, I like the 10-day model because
I convinced you
with the
Teddy. Do you want 10
days? I thought
you
had some good points.
10 days is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with
Steven?
That.
Yeah, 10 days is fine.
With contest, though, and...
I think 3 is good.
Well...
Oh, with contest.
Hold on.
I have a rant
about contest. If you're going to give me 6 hours, don't limit me. Like, if I could be 3 days and still limit me, and it's the same result.
Yeah.
Like, give me more time.
I think there was somebody else who said this. It might have even been you, Destin. Ooh, and if you're right, that would be bad. something about when Menagerie launched, or I can't remember what it was, it would have been nice to maybe just grind one single activity and be able to power up from that rather than doing a whole bunch of previous content that was released before. So, the Menagerie launches, you could do that an unlimited amount of times, 3 hours. That's your power level.
I would have loved to just play all the new content
that was available.
That's
how I
felt. Instead of like running the Nightfall
because they closed some of those raids off for that reason, right? Yeah. So they have the ability to do something like that where maybe they could say, hey, if you're going to grind for power, do it in this one activity, whatever you end up being after grinding that activity.
I think contest is the way to do it, though.
It's a good implementation of it.
Does anybody not like contest? Raise your hand. One person dislikes contest. So I think they're onto something if one person in this whole room said, I don't like contest.
Hopefully it discourages you from playing 15 hours a day because you shouldn't have to. Now, it did still kind of, we only had 6 hours, but if you could get to like 720 or something, it still benefited you by the end of, the last encounter. But there's something there. And I also just think Teddy hit on the right point, which is probably a little different for a major release like the beginning of year 3 with Shadowkeep versus like a seasonal drop. And like probably 3 days for those could work a little faster, less story, and then more time to enjoy a new release.
I think 3 days is perfect for this last example, Crown of Sorrow.
I think that's a perfect
window. And you would have been able to enjoy it over the weekend. Yep. Everyone's still going to get... Because that would have been Friday, right? Tuesday, Wednesday. No, Tuesday counts as a day. Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, it would have launched Friday morning, like we've seen. Yeah.
Bungie still gets their world first,
Yeah.
I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah.
We're really close to time, and I do want to open up the floor to questions.
Oh, yeah.
So if anybody happens to have any questions, I think you just line up at that mic back there. And if not, then we'll just call it. Nope, people are lining
people
up.
Moving.
All right, take it away.
All right. Hi, I'm...
30 seconds of question.
Okay.
I know. How much time do we have? We need to confirm.
Sure.
Go.
Oh, I'll be real quick. So I'm Roadhouse. I've been playing Destiny from the very beginning, D1. I want to just thank you guys for doing the show. The Bungie games, I usually play the campaign and then bail out. And the same was true for Destiny. And... after completing the campaign, I didn't touch it for months, and then you guys have like Broman on the show. I didn't even know what Twitch was, and you guys re-engaged me, and like since then I've spent thousands of hours playing Destiny, made so many friends. I literally wouldn't be in this room right now if it weren't for Fireteam chat. So guys,
thank you so much for
doing
the show. Thank you to all the Guardians and
Absolutely.
Friends.
Right.
And like we wouldn't be here without Broman and Gathalion. And
I know it's just
so
a circle, right?
Absolutely.
So my question is, between now and Shadowkeep, what are you still grinding for?
Well, this week it was 750 light. Now it's God Rolls for Menagerie. Gear sets that I want. There's a bunch of triumphs that I still have to get. That's just me. The new weapons. Like I haven't gotten Wendigo yet.
Yeah.
Well, you guys.
Yep, Wendigo, I'd like to get Mountaintop still. I'd like to get Anarchy, because yes, it's the new trend. And I still need a better Owlstringer. I have a pretty good one, but it's not perfect.
Beloved Owlstringer.
Beloved as well.
And there's so much stuff to do in Destiny right now. Like it's the first time where we have tons to do, and so, it's overwhelming, actually, with the amount of
stuff. It's a good problem to have.
It is. It's a good problem. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much. Let's try and get, we have, two more questions. Yeah, sorry, guys.
So this has to do with more new content.
Yeah.
Based on what we got to see yesterday.
There's two weapons that I want to ask you guys what your opinion on is, whether it's going to be the raid weapon or not. The new machine gun and the trace rifle that puts the crit spot on. Which one do you guys think is going to be the...
Oh, yeah.
The trace rifle.
That's right. They talked
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
I want to know what that bug does.
You think that's going to be...
Me too.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know what that bug does, and I love machine guns. Machine guns are probably my favorite weapon to use in the game. I usually have one on my character. I'm blanking
the question,
on the name right
which
now.
Which you think is going to be in the raid?
Hammerhead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually Hammerhead. Think the machine gun has a good chance, but then again, I feel like they wouldn't reveal something that's coming out of there. So.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Oh, which,
neither.
Oh, which gun is the raid gun?
Yeah, I don't think either.
But I was saying the trace rifle. I think they nerfed Whisper because of that trace rifle.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it'll be the trace. Yeah. Yeah. But I love the machine gun. I wonder what that bug does.
Couple more.
Last one?
It's really bugging you?
Yeah. What are you guys' thoughts on all the constant nerfs that they're doing to some of these guns that we've all worked so hard for? You know, Whisper, Gears.
Good question.
How much time
Whisper,
do we have?
Who Let's has see. Used Whisper since
Luna's
the nerf or something?
Yeah.
What?
A few people?
We tried using it on the Scourge boss and found out you run out of ammo very quickly.
Yeah. Wait, Scourge or Crown?
Scourge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so
she's Darcy.
Initially, I was really mad to answer your question about the fact that they nerfed everything.
You were mad?
I was pretty mad.
It felt
like a punch in the gut. Like, we had got all these coveted pieces of gear, and I finally just finished my collection. They're like, yeah, guess what? It's all gone.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did I get the catalyst? Why did I ever get this gun? It's not going to be usable for most activities because spike grenades exist now. Yeah. You know, so
wait, no, they're not good. Don't tell Bungie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Spike grenades are fine.
They're fine.
And yeah. I hate that hammering stuff in the ground. How do you guys feel about it?
I'll just say real fast. I was bummed, but I have to say I was really happy and relieved that I was not using it in the raid. It just like I did that way too much, and to be in there trying to figure out a different weapon than Whisper felt great, to be quite honest.
And
even
upright.
In Menagerie, like I don't want to have to use Whisper. So I like where it's at with that. I don't like that it's irrelevant now, though. So
yeah.
To bring it somewhere.
Outbreak is perfectly tuned, but they really need to work on those misfits, man. They're too OP.
Justin, if you put that on one more time, I might defriend you.
Yeah, exactly.
I put it on as a joke.
So
hates
sitting on my white picket fence, Destin, I see both sides.
You're also conveniently in the middle.
Do you have an actual answer?
No, I think that I've accepted the fact that this is going to be a cycle of destiny. I really do like a lot of the weapons that are out right now in Menagerie, and so knowing full well that it's going to be a bunch of new weapons coming out in Shadowkeep, I'm fine with it. Whisper was good for the time being, but
it'll come back. I'm sure
it'll come back. Yeah,
Steven?
I think they over-nerfed it a tad bit, but Bungie does this sometimes, like when they nerfed Nova Warp to the ground, but they brought it back. They brought it back, so I don't think Whisper's dead yet.
Yeah, agree. Still strong.
Rip Titans.
I think I'm okay with all of them except for Skull of Dharamkara. That one is
a little too far. Yeah.
As a Warlock main as well, Reckoning is basically not doable, so if you're listening
as a Warlock,
to Mars.
But,
Teddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, tether all day.
Real quick,
I
know we're out of time. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has walked up to us, introduced ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you see us again after this, please don't feel nervous to come up to us. We want to talk to you, want to take pictures with you.
We're dying for attention. Please.
We're dying for attention.
I'm telling you.
Especially Fran.
It was expensive to come. The more that you can stroke our egos.
Elaborating on that, we'll be around after the show. We have to let the next panel come in, of course.
Thank you.
Though,
thank
we'll
you
be,
so much.
We'll be in
for
the
thank you.
Thank you,
so
thank
much
you everybody. Yeah.
One.
I've got
thank
one
you,
more
guys.
Yeah. One more
I
shout
want to do Guardians out.
Out
with everybody.
One more shout out.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
Shout
yeah.
out to Brian, C Team.
And Malkwitz, yes. Mm-hmm. He's been doing
great. He's my homie.
And
Rip
Sean
Finnegan.
He's over at 100 Thieves now.
Awesome.
Say hi to him. But we do Guardians out at the end of every show.
Wait
a
second.
I want to do it with everybody on
I've noticed this, by the way. So many people probably know that this was something I came up with, right? But I'm not on the show anymore, and I've noticed you're using it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's in photos, but like power per hour.
Well, you know, Fran.
So I was just going to ask you if you could refrain.
If you go over the contract, any intellectual property created well at IGN
does
remain
the
property of IGN.
Oh, man.
Darn
He's
it.
Got me on that. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. I miss, in fact, it's honestly, I've been seeing a lot of the photos and thinking. Like, I love DCP, by the way. Thanks to anyone who supports Destiny Community Podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
DCP guys are great.
And the whole community.
Yes, and thank you for...
Great. And as well, I'm not sure if anybody know out there, but I'm a dad,
God.
Raise your hands if you got kids out there, families.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. All right, so, you know, I just had to throw that one out there because they've been... I've been ragging on him here a little bit here tonight.
Yeah. CJ, you're dad?
I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know.
With kids.
We really got to go, guys. So right, just on three, we're all going to do Guardians out if you want to do it. Where's you guys can join along.
Which should we?
So what?
You should tell them exactly how it goes.
All right, I go one, two, three, and we all say Guardians out and point.
You're not going to say until next time? By the way, this is the bit. It's so good.
Fran.
All right.
It's been great
so
having
one,
you back,
one, two,
dude.
Three. Until next time, Guardians out.
Oh, wait. I thought.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.